University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. And I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, something very interesting happened yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. But something very interesting, dare I say earth-shattering, happened yesterday. And it happened after we went off the air here on this radio program. So for the first time in a very long time, I got something wrong. And Caleb, you know, we work very hard here to get everything right. We're by the book. And by and large, we don't make mistakes here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
When we do, though, we correct them.
But when we do, we correct them. Yes, you are absolutely correct. Because you know what, folks? We're not like the New York Times. We don't put the correction, the big front page story where you have the big error, where you have the fake news, and then they put the correction, like back in the classifieds, in tiny print. No, we don't do that. So I want to start off the program by admitting that I was wrong. This is hard for me to do, Caleb. But it needs to be done. So for at least a year now, about 6 months, I have been predicting that Joe Biden was going to go with either Hillary Clinton or Michelle Obama as the running mate. And I've been preaching that from, you know, just day in and day out. Because honestly, if you're Joe Biden and you can barely put two sentences together, then you're going to need somebody who can rally the base. And I always felt that was an important part of whatever Joe Biden was going to do, whoever he was going to pick. They were going to have to move that needle. They were going to have to inspire the masses of the little leftist lurking out there in mommy and daddy's basement. So I figured, well, Michelle Obama would certainly do that. She is beloved by the leftist community. I figured Hillary Rodham Clinton would do that because a lot of the Mexican Manchu-wearing crowd, they're still distraught over the fact that she lost in 2016. They want another go, a do-over, if you will. And maybe Oprah as the dark horse candidate because, you know, everybody, you know, loves Oprah because she gives people away, gives things away. And then a few days ago, we got word that a plane had been sent to South Bend, Indiana, which is the home of Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And that plane was taking somebody from South Bend to Delaware, which is where Joe Biden's basement is located. And I didn't say this on the air at the time, but I feel comfortable sharing this with you now. I thought to myself, well, wait a second. You know, again, you know, they're going with the identity politics route. So maybe, just maybe, I know that they're going for a black female. But maybe Pete Buttigieg suddenly has decided to self-identify as a black woman. And maybe that put him in the running. I didn't know. I just didn't know. It's possible. Anything's possible, right? It's 2020. So anyway, when word came out yesterday that Kamala Harris, did I say it? No, it's Kamala. Kamala.
Make it sound like Camelot.
No, Camelot. No, it's Ms. Harris. Senator Harris. So when word came that, you know, Tucker had a hard time with this last night on Fox News Channel, and I made a note to myself, be sure to get the correct pronunciation. Don't do what Tucker did. And I just did what Tucker did.
Only took you 4 minutes of the show.
It's going to be a long 3 hours, folks. So anyway, when the word came out that Harris was the pick, you know what my first reaction was?
What was that?
Really? Oh, well. Ho-hum. That's really what, and I was literally taking a nap. I wasn't feeling very well yesterday, so I went home, laid down, took a nap. The phone starts going bonkers. I look, I saw that it was Kamala is, who's the wrestler? There's a big professional wrestler named, is it Kamala?
I didn't watch a lot of pro wrestling.
I'm very confused. Anyway, I saw it was her, and I thought, okay, and went back to sleep. And had a very good rest. 5 hours I slept. It was very nice. Needed the rest. So it was sort of ho-hum. All that to say, and we're going to get into Harris and her record and all sorts of crazy stuff. And we're going to be taking your calls on this as well. But I wanted to say, I apologize because I got it wrong. I really thought that Biden was going to go with Michelle Obama, and it didn't happen. Now, here's the bigger question. Who is Kamala Harris going to pick as her running mate? Because I don't think Biden's going the distance. And I'm going to tell you something here, folks. We have a very dangerous situation over on the Democrat ticket because this woman is the most liberal leftist lawmaker up on Capitol Hill. And I'm not blowing. You say, what about Bernie Sanders? Even to the left of Bernie Sanders. Now, I want to read to you from Breitbart News. They have the story up. There is a nonpartisan website called govtrack.us, and they rank all of the members based on their ideologies and their votes. And they have determined that she is the most left-wing member of the United States Senate. Not Bernie Sanders, her. This was last year, 2019. In 2018, she was the fourth most left-wing. So clearly, she is moving to radically to the left. As a matter of fact, she embraced the Green New Deal. And we all know that the Green New Deal, sponsored by the Congress lady, AOC, the former bartender turned lawmaker, that she wants to shut down every hamburger joint in America, and she wants to shut down the airline industry to save the planet. Senator Harris supports that. By the way, she also wants to give free health care to illegals, and she wants to cut our military budget. This is who she is. So this is a far lefty, and I just don't know. Maybe you see something in her. I'm trying to think like a Democrat, and it's hard because I have a brain, and you have to disengage your brain to think like the Democrats think. And it's just hard for me to understand how that ticket actually excites people. But I will say this, for the first time in the history of American politics, a vice presidential candidate has solely been picked because of her skin color and reproductive organs. Apparently, that makes us a progressive nation, because I'm telling you, the folks are going bonkers over at the cable news channels. But I do want to revisit some things, and we're going to go back into the time machine, and we're going to play you some audio that we scrounged up last night, because the big issue among the left of the Democrat Party, they're not happy with this pick. They don't think she's progressive enough. As a matter of fact, these people are actually saying that she's not even black enough. And you say, that's ludicrous. Yes, it's ludicrous, but last year, Don Lemon went toe-to-toe with April Ryan in this huge debate, and we're going to play this audio for you a little bit later in this hour of the program. But Don Lemon and April Ryan went toe-to-toe debating whether or not Kamala Harris was actually black enough to be considered a black candidate. You can't make this stuff up. If that conversation had happened on Fox News, they would have had to have shut down the network. They would have burned the building to the ground. But over at CNN, well, you can talk about this nonsense. So we're going to be taking your calls on this. Does this move the needle for you one way or the other? Now, we've got some great guests. It's sort of like ladies' night here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Mercedes Schlapp is going to be here. Jen Kearns from All American Radio. Diamond and Silk. And Senator Marsha Blackburn. So it is an all-female panel today on the Todd Stearns radio program, because we want the brightest minds. And we are fair and balanced on this radio show. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Come on now. Some of you folks on the live stream over at ToddStarnes.com, you thought I was pulling your leg. You thought I was yanking your chain. Come on, Starnes. There's no way Don Lemon over at CNN would question whether or not someone was African-American or not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have the audio. This is Don Lemon, April Ryan, arguing over whether or not Kamala Harris is black.
She's a woman of color, but she is a black woman.
Okay, that's why I agree with that. I agree with that, but is she African American?
No.
But is she African American? There's a difference. There's nothing wrong with that. No one is trying to take anything away from her.
Let's go down into her lineage.
I think you're falling. I think you're falling into a trap of that. All she had to do was say, "I am black, but I'm not African American." That's it.
Don, let me say this. I'm not falling into a trap. Let me finish. Hold on. I'm not falling into a trap by that. When she goes down her lineage, many Africans landed in Jamaica and all these other Caribbean islands. So she could indeed be African American mixed with other races. But she
is Jamaica's not America.
But she is a black woman. She was
Jamaica
born
did not
here.
Come
in
out of Jim Crow,
okay, well let's go
saying.
Into Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
I'm not talking about Ted Cruz.
His father
this
was
is not
Cuban.
About Ted Cruz. You're changing
I know,
the subject.
But you know what? We cannot. It was hypocrisy. I'm not changing the subject.
Yes, you are.
She's a black woman. I don't know what
you want. Cruz.
Okay.
Can I just say something here? I think there's two versions of this question.
Don't. White guy, be quiet. Just be quiet.
He was coming in to save the day.
Yeah, no. Just there, it was great. They had four panelists, and Lemon was on the end, and April Ryan was on the other end, and two white guys, and they looked like deer in headlights.
Todd, I don't know if you didn't know this, but Jamaica is not America.
It's not America. Okay. Wow. So now you see what we have to look forward to. Democrats are not convinced that she is, in fact, African-American. So she doesn't have the street cred, if you will. What a mess and what an entertaining mess this is going to be. And there's more to that conversation. We'll play that a little bit later on. I do want to go to the phone, so 844-747-8868. Does this move the needle for Trump or Biden? All right, let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Aaron, listening to us on KAR. Hi, Aaron. What's going on?
Not much. I don't see how you didn't think that Kamala Harris is going to be the pick. Because I've been saying it all along after Biden got ransacked by Harris, and everybody on the left started attacking her because they were going after sweet Joe Biden, who was the vice president under Obama. I said right then and there, if Kamala gets dropped out, it's going to be Biden and Harris all along. My grandparents were saying it's going to be Michelle Obama. They were saying it's going to be Warren. And I was the only one sitting out saying it's going to be Harris. Watch. I guarantee it.
Well, Aaron, look, my hat is off to you, sir, because I'm with your grandparents. I figured they were going to go with Michelle Obama because I think that's the only thing that, you know, jazzes up the duo there. What makes you think Harris is the right pick?
It just feels better for him because of all the candidates other than Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, why would she want to do it? I mean, what's her point of doing it? If it's Hillary Clinton, she already got ransacked by Trump. Why would she want to go up against it again? And with Rice has so much dirt under her skin that she can't come out. She can't come out publicly. So I don't see why she would come out and be the vice president. The only one that doesn't have that much dirt, that has dirt on her, that can kind of probably stand in the fight, and their only hope is that Harris and Pence, and I don't think Pence is going to stand up to Harris. And Harris is going to just eat him alive because he's soft-spoken. He's not like Trump, who basically came out and said, I'm going to attack you on anything and everything that you've done wrong, that I know I can fix. And he played the name game. Nobody on the Republican ticket played the name game. And he pushed him aside, and he did the same thing with Hillary Clinton. The only thing that she had was, the basket of deplorables. And now, he came in and said, I'm going to put you in jail.
Now, Aaron, let me ask you a question. Are you a Trump guy or a Biden guy?
Oh, I'm a Trump supporter. I've been a Trump supporter since the recession.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Are you concerned then that the choice here might hurt the president? You think this is going to hurt his reelection chances?
I don't. If he just goes on what he did that helped him in 2016, just get to the point, keep everything that's bad that he can fix into the news. Like there's supposed to be some attack on. There's supposed to be some storming of the White House coming up in a couple of days, or like September or something. Keep that in the news if it starts going away, and just do everything you can. Keep the pressure on Antifa in the news, because all he's got to do is preach on law and order, and he's got it in the ticket. Just like all he had to do was preach on all he had to do in 2016 was preach on I'm going to bring jobs back, I'm going to cut regulations, and I'm going to bring America back from the depths of hell. It's just from everything that was going on with Obama, and that's what he did, and he won. And
here's the challenge, Aaron. The president, when Donald Trump was running for office, it was a very simple question. Are you better off now than you were, 4 years ago? And people were saying, well, no. And he would say, well, you know what? I'm going to fix that. Here's the problem. Because of the Wuhan China virus, people can't say they're better off now. They were, but many of them are not now. And the president, that's off the table. So to your point, I think you've got something here that law and order is going to be a big, big campaign issue moving into 2020.
Exactly. And on top of that, with law and order,
go ahead, finish your thought.
With law and order wasn't as big coming into 2020 as everybody thought it was at first, because it was all about the virus. Law and order didn't start making the news as that's going to be something big until all the protests started.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everything, and all of a sudden, Antifa come out of the skin. So you just got to keep that in the news and just keep preaching. I'm going to just have some cities that are surviving, because all the main protests stopped. And then they started going back at it again, and all the shootings have arisen because of cops losing their jobs. You just got to keep it in the news.
Well, and that is an important thing. And, we're certainly doing our part on this radio program, because law and order is important, and we've got to stand with law enforcement. Aaron, good comments, good thoughts, and thanks for listening to the program. I don't know if you picked up on that, but Aaron seemed to be concerned as to whether or not Mike Pence is going to be able to fight Kamala Harris in the debates. There have been some rumblings in social media that maybe the president should replace Mike Pence with Nikki Haley. And this kind of story, this rumor has been popping up every so often. What do you think here, folks? Is Pence still the guy? Or does the president need to make a switch? Does he need to bring in someone like Nikki Haley? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Mercedes Schlapp coming up next. It's sort of ladies' night here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We've got Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up, Jen Kearns from All American Radio, Diamond and Silk, and on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, the one, the only, that great American, Mercedes Schlapp. Mercedes, how's it going?
Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well, and I'm very anxious to hear what you have to say about Joe Biden's pick for VP, Kamala Harris. I can't think of anyone more extreme, any person more left-wing than someone like her.
I know, truly. I mean, Biden surely decided he was not going to run in the center. It's so clear when you have a pick like Kamala Harris, where even, you know, you've seen that she's been rated as the most liberal senator in 2019. And that's really no easy achievement when you're serving in the caucus with Bernie Sanders. So, you know, her, when you look at the legislation that she has sponsored, whether it be co-sponsoring with Bernie Sanders, socialized medicine, Medicare for all, which we know would eliminate over 160 million private health insurance plans, and also co-sponsor the Green New Deal, you know exactly where they're running. They are have led to the complete socialist takeover of the Democrat Party.
And then when you look at some of her policy positions, and this one on late-term abortion ought to terrify everybody. I mean, she supports abortion up to the birth of the child.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, it's not even like she is extreme on this issue of abortion. Obviously, she opposes the Hyde Amendment as well, which would require taxpayers to pay for abortions. And there is, it's just this, again, extreme far left agenda that she is supporting. And I think that that is such a huge problem, you know, but not surprising. I mean, she's from California. Look at how they've been able to destroy California, these liberal Democrats. And now they're going to, she's going to take her liberal far left agenda and try to implement it to all of America by supporting and being on the ticket with Joe Biden.
You know, it's interesting, Mercedes. I wrote about an incident involving Senator Harris in my my book, Culture Jihad, that came out last year. There was an episode on Capitol Hill. There was a district judge being going through the nomination process, and she attacked him because he was a member of the Knights of Columbus. And she basically made the Knights of Columbus out to be like the Klan. It was really appalling what she did and her behavior towards Catholic nominees.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Her hostility towards Catholics is very alarming, where she even said that, you know, where she even is pushing for a religious litmus test on Catholic judges. And I just think that, again, it just shows how concerned, you know, I'm Catholic, how concerned people of faith should be with a Kamala Harris on the ticket.
I'm curious, you know, the president came under fire earlier today. He put out a tweet talking about how suburban women are going to vote for him. The left out there saying, oh, that's code, you know, that's racist code. Mercedes, the reality is a lot of minorities live in the suburbs, and nobody wants the lawlessness and the anarchy that's in the streets of many major urban centers right now.
Yeah, I think it, look, I just got off a Women for Trump bus tour in Pennsylvania for 2 days. I'm heading back there this weekend to Wisconsin and over to Iowa. And I got to tell you, like, we're visiting these field offices, and first of all, they're majority women who are staffing these offices, are making the calls, knocking on doors. They really know what's at stake here. And what they see, they don't like. They don't like the chaos on the streets. They don't like this language about defunding the police, or in Kamala's words, reimagining the police. And so I think that it's important to understand that the women out there are really the ones who are looking at what the Democrats are proposing and saying that they've gone way too far to the left. And I think what they're finding with Donald Trump is that he is about common sense solutions. You know, some of the women might not like the tweets or the tone of the president, but at the end of the day, they know he gets results done. He's working every single day on Operation Warp Speed, which would lead to vaccine development, figuring out how we can get more of these therapeutics to help people who have contracted coronavirus. He's also obviously ensuring that we have all the resources that we need to get to the state and local governments so that they are not, you know, so they're able to manage any sort of spike with coronavirus. So, and, you know, and of course, the president also is focused on ensuring that the families that have been, you know, American families receive assistance, unemployment assistance during this very difficult time. And while Congress is still fighting to figure out the economic stimulus package, the president moved ahead with executive orders to also even defer the payroll tax. These are proactive actions to help ensure that Americans can receive relief during this very difficult time.
And it seems to me, Mercedes, the more pressing issue here is that she is more than likely if heaven forbid Biden wins, she's probably going to be president of the United States. And that's why we need to pay very close attention to her policies, her record, and where she would take this country, which was to the far, far left.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm reading a Chiron saying that New York Post op-ed suggests 2020 election is really a choice between President Trump and Senator Harris. It's pretty much they're disqualifying Joe Biden. They're pushing him off to the side. He himself has said that he is a transition candidate. And it's why there's so much focus on this Harris pick. The problem is that the Harris pick is just part of her being a puppet of the radical left. And, you know, she is aligned with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez squad. She also has spent a lot of time attacking Joe Biden, almost calling him a racist. And how he's attached to the segregationists. And, you know, it just becomes, I think, a big problem for Kamala. We got to ask ourselves, do we want America to look like California? Because that's the state she represents. And obviously, she has taken a lead from what California is pushing forward. I mean, she even, for example, applauded Eric Garcetti, the L.A. mayor, who ended up slashing $150 million from the LA PD, and she applauded that action. And so we know that where she stands is not in the center, but at the far left. And the mere fact that the New York Times is saying that she is a pragmatic moderate shows how delusional the New York Times is.
Well said. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Mercedes, we're going to have to leave it there. Good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Great lady right there, Mercedes Schlapp, out on the Trump campaign trail. As she mentioned, the Women for Trump bus is going to be out in the Midwest, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And the Trump campaign sent out an interesting note. They said that Kamala Harris is Joe Biden's political living will. And there's a whole heck of a lot of truth there. Some people are even suggesting that Biden may not even make it to Inauguration Day, that sometime between now and the election, he will just pull out of the race and say he can't go any further. Or maybe he heaven forbid, again, if Biden wins, he could say, you know what, I can't do it. Harris is the gal, and we'll have to have another VP. Who do you think she's going to pick? My money would be Pete Buttigieg if that happened. You know, he did fly to Delaware, so there was a reason. He's either there's some sort of scheming in the works here, or else Buttigieg is going to have some sort of a role in a Biden cabinet. What is it, the Secretary of Diversity and Inclusion? Will that be a cabinet-level position in the Biden administration? Could be. All right, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, opening up the phone lines, what do you think here about Kamala Harris? Do you think she moves the needle? Do you agree with the New York Post that this is really a Trump versus Harris presidential race? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
So you would think something as big as announcing your vice presidential running mate, you would not need notes. But Joe Biden didn't just have notes. He actually read from a script when he told Kamala Harris that that she was his pick. And it's really, I mean, I'm telling you, there's just something not right about Joe Biden. And it's just, you can call it elder abuse, you can call it whatever, but something is just not right there.
It was a tough script to write, too, because they had to keep it to two syllable or fewer words.
That's terrible. You're terrible. Caleb, come on. You know, did you notice that his, I don't know if you noticed this, but in the pictures, his iPhone was upside down.
No, it wasn't.
No, seriously. It's upside down.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very...
Well, it was so awkward because it was so clear. First off, it was very clear that the entire phone call and everything was completely staged.
Everything scripted.
Which already makes it a little bit awkward when you're trying to do this, hey, this big reveal, mm-hmm. and hey, we're going to surprise you with this phone call that's totally scripted and you already knew about it. But then to have him actually have the script, it was almost like something Michael Scott would do in The Office. It was ridiculous.
Have you seen have you ever been, you're eating dinner and the phone rings and you pick up the phone and it's one of those like salespeople, you know, and they're reading off of a script. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what Joe Biden did.
He was looking down at the table the entire time.
Hello, insert name here. I wanted to invite you to be. You got to be careful. He's going to read everything on that script, Joe Biden. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Deborah in New Jersey, the Garden State. Deborah, what's going on?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm a new listener, but I very much enjoy your show. So,
well, you're very kind to say that.
Thank you. On that note, I just want to throw another log onto the fire here. And it's something nobody's really talking about, and it's Kamala Harris's eligibility to be in this position. She's born to non-Americans, even though it's on American soil. And she's to be a natural-born citizen, according to our Constitution. So I don't believe that she's eligible to be in her position. Surely she's going to be our president. We all know that. And what do we do then? It sounds like it's a constitutional crisis in the making. And I'd love to hear your opinion and other educated or constitutional attorneys on that subject. Nobody talks about it.
Deborah, this is a fascinating question. Now, straight up, I am not a constitutional lawyer. But as far as I know, she was born on American soil, and that makes her eligible to run for president. I believe she was born in Oakland, California. So that would make her a legal citizen of America.
It makes her a naturalized citizen, and I'm not a constitutional attorney. I just read. I'm just a reader. It makes her a naturalized citizen, but it doesn't make her a natural born citizen, and that's where this.
Oh, it does though, Deborah. It does. If she was born on American soil, she is an American. She is an American citizen. And granted, her parents were not, so her parents could not have run for the White House. I think her mother is from India, and her father was from Jamaica. But she was born here, and that's been the big controversy. Again, let's step out of the Kamala Harris issue for just a moment here. There's been a big debate over anchor babies, the parents intentionally crossing the border to have the child born on American soil. And the reason they do that is because that child then becomes an American citizen. So, again, even though the parents were not legal, I mean, they were legal citizens, but they were not born here on American soil. She was. And so she would be qualified to run for the White House.
Truly, I'm not trying to be argumentative.
No.
But the sticking point is the natural born citizen as opposed to a naturalized or anchor baby citizen, or a natural born citizen needs to be born to two American citizens. And the reason for that is that you are to, from the time of your birth, you're molded by your mother and your father. And if you're born to two non-Americans, and this is why our founders were so they were very protective, and it's the only office where they demand a natural born citizen to be.
Let me ask you a question, Deborah. Let me ask you a question. What would you consider to be a natural? That seems to be the word here that you're addressing, natural born citizen. What do you mean by that?
To American citizens. She was born to a Jamaican and an Indian citizen, not American citizen. So as she's growing up, she may have been dropped on this soil, but her molding did not come out of being an American citizen. Somebody who grew up with the Pledge of Allegiance and the Star Spangled Banner, and that's what the founding fathers were worried about for this position, because she's going to be the commander in chief of the military. They wanted to make sure there were no divided loyalties, there was no chance of treason in that office. So they the Constitution clearly says a natural born citizen, and from that, you know, so there's been a lot of wrangling over that phrase. But from that phrase, you have to go back to their writings. And even from the founding fathers' writings, you have to go back to what they were studying. And I never studied this myself personally, but apparently it's from Vattel's Law of Nations. That's where they got the intention that it has to be an American.
So, Deborah, let me jump in here for just a minute, because we're running up on the clock, and I want to make sure we try to answer your question here. And I hear what you're saying from a legal standpoint, and this is from U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. If a child born abroad has at least one parent who is a U.S. citizen by birth or through naturalization, they are eligible to become an American citizen, too. Now, but that's parental citizenship. Now, according to some legal experts, they're saying anyone born on U.S. soil and subject to its jurisdiction is a natural born citizen, regardless of the parental citizenship. So that's, you know, again, I'm not going to be surprised if this becomes an issue. But my reading of the law, as again, I am a non-attorney person here, so this is the layman's reading of it. It seems to me that everything is fine here. Born on American soil makes you a natural born citizen. It doesn't matter where your parents came from. Deborah, I hope that answers your question. And again, I'm not going to be surprised if that is an issue that's going to be brought up, you know, out on the campaign trail. Who knows? You know how ugly things get around political season. But for me, the bigger problem is the fact that this woman has no problem killing a child as it's coming out of the birth canal. That's a problem in my estimation. And by the way, the attacks on Catholics, if you're a member of the Knights of Columbus, you can't serve in government. Yeah, that's another big problem for me. All right, we got to take a break. ToddStarnes.com, the website. Give us a call. We'll be right back.